My children and I attended the Camp Hill Presbyterian Church for over 20 years. That is a church dear and near to my heart. Whenever the associate pastor preached at Camp Hill, she always ended her service with the very same benediction. Remember, you cannot go where God is not. And I didn't understand that for the longest time. I thought it was just a twisted use of the English language, a contrived way of saying that, you know, why didn't she say God is everywhere? I just wondered why she needed to send us off with these words at all. We weren't going to come back next Sunday. We were coming back. We weren't going anyplace. Were there godless places in the universe that we might visit? Every benediction that she gave was the same. Remember, you cannot go where God is not. I didn't put it all together until years later. First, it was when my children graduated from college and they left home to begin living away. Second, when I took my own leap of faith to venture away from our home of 20 years to enter seminary, I remember one night I was in bed, missing my children so much, wondering how they were getting along without me, wondering if they were getting along just fine without me, I realized that I was no longer able to protect them and guard them. And then my pastor's benediction came back. Remember, you cannot go where God is not. My children would no longer live at home for me to raise them, but God would be there in my place wherever they chose to live. And I lifted both my children in prayer, as I continue to do now, asking the Lord to protect them with grace, to guide them with wisdom, and to give them what they most need in life. They wouldn't be orphans, traveling alone through this great tumbler of life. No space too large, no space too small. God promises to be with them wherever they are. We cannot go where God is not, because wherever we are, God is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of truth that Jesus was talking about when he told his disciples at the Last Supper, just as he was about to leave them. The gospel writer John recorded the last teaching and conversations that Jesus had. And there are actually four chapters in the gospel of John devoted to the intimate talk that Jesus had with his disciples. Jesus knew what was ahead for them and for him. About 2 weeks ago, I ran into an acquaintance that I hadn't seen for over a year, and we were catching up and asking how each of us were, and she told me that she was going through something, and her family was going through something, because her beloved sister-in-law had recently died. And she said that she and her family were trying to adjust to the space that that beloved sister-in-law had in the family. Adjusting to that space. What she was going through and her family was going through was the same shock and the same grief that Jesus knew ahead of time was going to happen. How to adjust to the space when a loved one dies. At the painful farewell, Jesus gave to the disciples these life-giving words: "I will not leave you orphan. I am coming to you," he told them. "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will send another advocate to be with you forever. Another advocate. John uses the Greek word parakletos, a word that is not used anywhere else in the New Testament. Parakletos translates as paraclete, the one who comes alongside another. Jesus was the first advocate, and now in Jesus' absence, God would send another advocate. We know this other advocate as the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, our comforter, our guide, the Spirit of truth that abides in us and surrounds us wherever we go. We have learned the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity. But it is incredibly difficult to define who or what the Holy Spirit is. And I think that's why many people have told me throughout the years that they just can't wrap their minds around the Holy Spirit. This other advocate is so intangible and yet very relational. John describes the Holy Spirit as the wind. The Spirit of God blows where it will, and we do not know where it comes from or where it goes. I can know the Holy Spirit in my belief system. I can state that it is the third person in the Trinity, but I cannot adequately define in words the Holy Spirit. I know this, though. That when I see, and I know you're going to think this is strange, but think about it. When I see a reflection of light cast on my, if I'm in my bedroom, on my closet doors, or if I'm down in my kitchen and a reflection of light comes through the window and it is like a pattern on my cupboard doors, I stop and I stare. There's absolutely no sound. And I think of these reflections of light as the epitome of silence. I always stop moving and I stare at these reflections of light. They come from beyond. They come from what is eternal. The next time you are at home and aware of some reflections or a pattern of light on the wall coming from the window, think of it as eternal light. And realize how silent that is. That's part of my conception of the Holy Spirit. A reason that it is hard to describe something as eternal and as spiritual as the Holy Spirit reminds me of a song in The Sound of Music. If you recall, some older nuns are talking to the Reverend Mother about this Maria, this flibbity-gibbet of a young nun who they don't think will ever be a nun. She's just not cut out. And the Reverend Mother sings, "How can you hold a moonbeam in your hand?" It's just as difficult to capture and define the Holy Spirit. And there's more, also difficult to put into words. It's a nudging. It's a guidance that seems to come out of the blue. We call someone just at the moment that they needed a call, or we visit somebody just when they needed a visit. Or we make a decision after wrestling about a dilemma, and it turns out to be the right decision. Scripture tells us that we are led by the Holy Spirit. And we know this by the fruits of the Spirit, love and peace and joy and forgiveness. There are many instances of being led by something intangible and greater than ourselves, and it's almost impossible to fit into words. But I now accept that these situations are the work of that nebulous Holy Spirit that we cannot pin down. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. When they act out of love and keep his commandments, they will not be alone. He will never leave them. In his physical absence, his presence will be with them forever. This other advocate will not become as Jesus was and will not be lifted up to death, but this other advocate will be with them forever. This other advocate will be with us forever. Because of love, it abides in us. Before I write one word of a sermon, I pray to the Holy Spirit to guide me. Before I walk into a meeting, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be with me. Before I drive the 1 hour to come here and then to return home again, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to surround me and to guard me. I pray for the Spirit to be with me whenever I am facing a new situation or whenever I am not sure of an outcome. I pray before I make an important phone call, or before I write an important letter, or before I write an important email. I pray for the Spirit at night if I hear a strange noise outside my window. There's not anything that I tackle when I am unsure that I do not pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. It's almost impossible to put into words the strength that I receive that is so real. The Spirit sustains me, and I am certain it sustains you. Truly genuine inner strength comes from God, the Holy Spirit. It enables us to keep going even when pain overwhelms us, because God's strength is bigger than any pain. God's strength never runs out. We cannot go where God is not, because God is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is as close as our breath. This other advocate comes along beside us. And when we come along beside each other in illness or in health, in kindness or in friendship, we are conforming our lives to Jesus. We are keeping his commandments. One night, a still, small voice came to me. It was more like a thought than a voice, but it was still, and it was small. I was again anxious about my children being far away from me. And then I remembered my pastor's words, "You cannot go where God is not." And just in the remembering, I can point to the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence within of that other advocate. We cannot go where God is not. The Spirit of truth is with us always. Amen.